This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 21st. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a talk with a U of I political science professor about the upcoming Illinois primary, why it was moved, and whether that was a good idea. We'll also get a forecast for the upcoming weekend and into the holiday season with AM 580 meteorologist Scott Oltoff. First, a look at today's news. Federal Aviation Administration officials are investigating a single-engine plane crash that left three men dead in a field west of Springfield. Sangamon County Sheriff Neil Williamson says the four-seat Beechcraft was headed to Abraham Lincoln Capital Airport when it crashed yesterday afternoon in a field. Authorities couldn't immediately identify the victims. FAA officials say the three victims were the only people aboard, which was registered to an individual in Rochester. The FAA said the plane had been routed through Champaign and was on final approach to Springfield when it crashed. The FAA, meanwhile, says air traffic controller error caused a Boeing 737 and a Beechcraft plane to fly too close to each other, also near Springfield. But FAA spokesman Tony Molinaro says the planes weren't ever in danger of colliding. The jet was headed northeast and came within 3.6 miles horizontally of a Beechcraft Super King traveling westbound. It all happened about 20 miles from Springfield Wednesday morning. Molinaro says the trainees' instructions caused the airplanes to be closer than they should have been, but the planes had already passed each other at that point. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association says they don't have enough experienced controllers to handle the workload. Illinois lawmakers will kick off the new year at the state capitol with another special session. Sean Crawford reports.
Governor Ron Blagojevich says lawmakers need to find a solution to Chicago-area mass transit funding woes. He's calling the legislature into session January 2nd, more than 2 weeks before a January 20th deadline, at which CTA leaders warn they'll be forced to cut routes and raise fares if the state won't help them out. Blagojevich says he's decided against calling lawmakers back to the Capitol during the holidays, but says once they're over, it's time to tackle the issue.
And January the 2nd begins a countdown to January 20th, and the legislature needs to pass a funding solution for the Chicago Transit Authority.
But lawmakers have tried to pass mass transit bailouts on other occasions with no success. A spokesperson for the House Speaker says that chamber will consider any plan the governor offers up. Blagojevich has yet to say he'll introduce a new approach. Downstate lawmakers are also balking at help for mass transit until there's a way to pay for roads, bridges, and schools in their districts. Blagojevich says he's willing to keep the legislature in session as long as it takes to find compromise. The last time lawmakers debated mass transit funding, Blagojevich left the Capitol to attend a hockey game in Chicago. I'm Sean Crawford.
Illinois' congressional delegation has joined Governor Blagojevich in pushing for federal action on the FutureGen power plant project. On the same day that the FutureGen Alliance awarded the experimental coal-fired power plant to Mattoon, the Department of Energy said it was uncomfortable with the timing of the selection and that a restructuring of the proposal might be needed. In a letter written yesterday, Illinois senators and representatives asked Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman to make the department's record of decision final on the Mattoon site environmental suitability. FutureGen now has an estimated price tag of $1.8 billion, about 75% of which will be paid for by taxpayers. A recent Major League Baseball report links some of the sports stars to steroid use. Amanda Vinicky explains a proposal in Illinois to curb high school athletes from doing the same.
Representative Paul Frelick, a Schaumburg Democrat, says he'll introduce legislation that permits schools to test for steroids. High school athletes that refuse would be kicked off the team.
Because what's the advantage then? If you're out of the sports team, then there's no advantage to cheating by using the steroids.
Frelick says that would be more effective than threatening students with jail time. He says young people respond to frequent supervision and proportional penalties. Other steroid plans went nowhere in the legislature earlier this year. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A state law taking effect on New Year's Day adds gender to a state law already barring governments from discriminating based on race or religious preference. The new measure passed on unanimous votes in both the House and Senate this year and was signed by the governor soon after. In 2003, lawmakers passed a Civil Rights Act that bars local, county, and state governments from singling out people on other grounds. One group that advocated for the new law's passage was Illinois' chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. Spokesman Ed Yonka says the inclusion of gender to the act was seen as proactive rather than reactive.
There was not a particular instance where there was a feeling that there was a need to enhance enforcement of civil rights laws as applied to women or to gender discrimination. I think what was really more at issue here was that this law had been passed in 2003, didn't include gender at that time, and people thought it was important to make sure that it was inclusive.
Yanka says the new law will apply most often to government hiring practices viewed as discriminatory. He says the law allows groups to seek compensation and change the policies of that governmental unit. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. In less than 6 weeks, Illinois voters will make their earliest trek ever to the polls in an election cycle. Last year, state lawmakers pushed the primary election up to the first Tuesday in February. It was meant to give Illinois more of a say in the selection process for presidential candidates. But is that move working? We get an early evaluation from Brian Gaines, a University of Illinois political science professor.
It's conceivable that Illinois, having moved up, will end up being in the strategy of one of the major candidates. We'll get some visits, maybe some airtime, some campaign ads. But it's so wide open, it's hard to say. That I think a lot will depend on the first few primaries, and maybe not till mid-January will be clear if anybody's really going after the state.
Now, the rationale that a lot of Democratic leaders had said when they moved the primary up was to help Barack Obama. Does that help his campaign overall, having the Illinois primary so early and having it where, as you mentioned, he probably could walk away with the race as a favorite son?
I think probably not, partly because the state has been written off. Even if Illinois had somehow worked out a way to jump ahead of Iowa and New Hampshire and gone first, everybody would have thought, okay, well, that's Obama's home ground. He'll win it. Now let's see what really happens in neutral territory. Insofar as Iowa or New Hampshire are neutral. I don't think they particularly helped him. I think really the key for him is going to be Iowa, and then if he makes a serious showing in Iowa and can follow it up well in New Hampshire, it won't hurt him then that he'll win a landslide here probably in Illinois in 3 weeks later or so. But it isn't the event that's going to give him momentum, and now so many states push them up to the Super Tuesday that... I think that'll be when the race is won or lost, and it won't be Illinois won't have the chance to sort of show his strength in a way that it generates further momentum for him. The momentum he has to get is going to be Iowa and New Hampshire.
How much attention have particularly the Republican candidates spent on Illinois, even if it is supposed to be a fairly tight primary? And in general, how much time have they spent in the states that aren't Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina?
Most of them haven't spent a lot. Romney has spread his advertising and his efforts to build grassroots campaigns around more than the others. So I think Romney probably has the strongest game locally. And several of them have made interesting decisions that they're essentially opting out of Iowa. They need to win New Hampshire. So we're already seeing some variation in strategy. And I think that's where Illinois could come in. If there's not a decisive winner, if the big five, Thompson, Romney, Giuliani, McCain, Huckabee, split on Iowa, New Hampshire, and then Michigan, Nevada, South Carolina. If they haven't narrowed the field down or narrowed it down to one, then they may end up going after the big targets, but different big targets when we get to the February 5th. Illinois has about 70 seats, 70 delegates. California's got 173. It's the biggest prize. But it could be that a couple of them decide. Giuliani maybe goes after California. McCain decides he can get Illinois. Romney goes after New York. It's quite unpredictable. In a way, it's exciting, but it might mean that Illinois gets overlooked, or it might mean that Illinois becomes a battleground.
So not every state is going to have every candidate in it before that super-duper Tuesday on the 5th.
I think not, and I think if it does turn out that there are at least two, maybe three viable Republican candidates, they're likely to spread out. They have different advantages. Romney has more money, and as I say, he's put more effort into building grassroots everywhere. Huckabee has the sense of momentum. He's sort of caught all the others just in the last month or so, and so he doesn't have a lot of money, but he's likely to his immediate strategy will probably be live appearances, not TV ads. And some of the others, McCain has the longest history, so he has historical roots in various states. But at this point, he's far enough behind. He doesn't have the luxury of trying to build support. Looking ahead to February 5th, he has to somehow find a primary he can win early.
Is there any evidence yet as to how the change has impacted any local politics, local elections?
Well, it's sort of they're an accidental victim. The local races, which could have been later, get shoved up with the president. The states have the option of having a presidential primary and then later having the congressional and state level races. And mostly they don't because it's expensive to have multiple elections and you push turnout down. But it does mean it accelerates the campaign for candidates who aren't in the same kind of fundraising game. And I think in general it helps incumbents. It means lots of ways American politics is stacked against challengers. Incumbents have a head start. They're campaigning the whole time they're in office in one manner or another. And an unfortunate consequence of pushing the presidential primaries up is that we've probably exacerbated an existing condition, which is a built-in bias that favors the office holders.
Brian Gaines specializes in analyzing elections as a political science professor at the U of I. He says the earliness of the 2008 presidential campaign may spark talk of reforming the primary process, but he doesn't think much will come out of that talk. There's a bit of a question mark on our weekend forecast that has some precipitation in it. Our meteorologist Scott Olthoff says today, after morning fog, it'll be cloudy and mild across the two states, highs from 37 in far northern Illinois to around 56 in the far south. Areas of dense fog may redevelop tonight. It'll be mild still, with lows from 36 north to 48 south. The high today in Champaign-Urbana 48, 40 the low tonight. For tomorrow, in the eastern half of Illinois and in Indiana, cloudy and mild with occasional rain showers, especially in the afternoon and evening. In western Illinois, cloudy with rain showers turning to snow overnight, and some accumulation is possible to our west. The highs tomorrow from 40 north to 60 far south. Saturday's high near 50 in Champaign-Urbana. Tomorrow night, cloudy, windy, and turning much colder with scattered rain showers mixing with and changing to snow toward morning, the low 25. Sunday, windy, cloudy, a few snow showers and flurries. High temperatures in the low 30s early, then falling to the 20s during the day. And then looking ahead to Christmas Eve day, partly sunny with a high of only around 30. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 21st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.